A sequence for Francis Parkman. This is a sequence of several poems, and before each poem except the last one, I give a prose note, rather formal prose, which ought to help the understanding of the poem which follows it. The Jesuits in North America. Recollet friars and the very Huguenots were as often as Jesuits Champlain's companions on early investigations of the seaboard of Acadia and the estuary of the St. Lawrence River. It was not at his instigation, though it was with his compliance, that the Canadian mission, big with a harvest of monstrous and astonishing martyrdoms, became a monopoly of the Society of Jesus. Curé and pastor, dead at the one time, buried in the one grave. To see would they lie peaceable together, who never lived so on Acadia's coast. And the Aeneas of a destined nation sees uses for recalcitrance, no matter priest or pastor, sectarian zeal to rib the rock Quebec. Only the holy fathers were holy and resolute enough to live in Huron lodges. Only the wily fathers could, only the holy fathers, outwit the Iroquois. Saguenay, Ohio, Colorado, roll gloomy waters, and the Ottawa, plunging, boiled. Shot spray from that concussion, smoked out of Champlain's arquebus, in Indian wars. He knew a demon in the cataract. Tobacco, dispersed on foam, placates the Manitou. Only the holy fathers were holy and resolute enough. Devils and devildom incarnate, none but they, the incarnate gods, adepts and ministers, might recognize and slay. Savages convert the savages. Canoe that darted out upon the still bay of the Trinity, dark as Acheron, sanctuary of solitude and silence. The soul of Champlain, dying, took such forms as never a Jesuit of France could tell. More shapes than one, since all were Canada. At Sainte-Marie, the father's mail from France accumulates unread. The holy fathers, only the holy fathers, were resolute for martyrdom. Apache, last suicidal chieftain in a column of blowing dust, a dry soil's levity, too late affects the Roman. Fatuity, not cowardice, undid the Huron nation, and intractable indolence the Iroquois, but all had seen too many gods. As I have seen them, too many and too different. There is no God but one, and he is terrible, dwells in the Huron lodges, outwits the Iroquois. La Salle. La Salle, who, for no sordid end, pressing to the waters of the Mississippi, first by that watery highway attained to the Gulf of Mexico, was a spirit cold and stern. His followers, who shared his perplexities and endured the effects of his perseverance, at most respected, always feared, and never loved him. A truth sufficiently attested by the circumstance of his obscure death at their mutinous hands in the deserts of Louisiana. In his letters, written to his creditors and friends, he has confessed that the wilderness drew him not otherwise than as a theatre for his restless ambitions, where they would be less obstructed than in the palaces and faubourgs of Paris, by a lack of that conversibility and address which alone, in a more civil society, can recommend and please. of this aspiring burgher who disdained, dumb in his pride of mortified reserve, the usufruct of half a continent, after the dark inexorable river delivers him the salt breath of the sea, still we complain. Dark it was not until he made it so, inexorable nor fatal. He loved solitude and he loved power, and Parkman loves him for it. Better love profit. If no principle nor faith move his lids, mountains cannot trade unsheet the gathered waters of five inland oceans, a prodigal nature's parks and pleasure grounds, wild swans, wild turkeys, cranes, and pelicans. He never saw it, any of it. Saw the Mississippi that was bright as dark, indifferent as inexorable. Saw, as if in those accounts he never kept, digits and proxies, lean alternatives to audiences with a monseigneur where he had lacked complaisance and address. He loved solitude and he loved power, and lonely as when born of chaos, bright, voiceless, sailless, without sign of life, the great gulf opened, tossing. But what for? Not for the faith, for glory, or for France. Whirled on the miry vortex of his need, the light canoes of Indian nations foundered. Frontenac. In what was wilderness as inviolate then as in the last century were the gorges of the High Sierra, when revealed to the astonished gaze of the intrepid John Muir, the Marquis of Frontenac founded 300 years ago the rude fortress of which the all but obliterated site still, though uncertainly, preserves his name in the city of Kingston, Ontario. There, however, 100 will ask for Old Fort Henry, the surviving British edifice, for the one curious traveller who inquires after the remains of Fort Frontenac. The adjacent terrain is that which the pen of Fenimore Cooper has made interesting to all amateurs of the sublime and romantic by the adventures of the immortal Chingachgook, in romances which, if written in a manner no less orotund, reveal also a genius as copious and spirited as the productions of the author of Waverley. Yet, however stirring and authentic the narrative, it must inevitably fail in delineating scenes of which the impressive charm is precisely that they were for so long untrodden, unless, really, by the moccasin of the savage and solitary hunter, and celebrated only by the wind's pencil and the music of the cataract. It was not by the force of arms, but by the framing of fraudulent contracts and the sale of spirituous liquors that these territories were wrested from their original dusky citizens. Hearing from some how the Sierra answers, even today, to John Muir's nails and rifle with human resonances, I heard the long-tamed wilderness give back over the lake and all to British Kingston the one word, Frontenac. But after echoes mock, the rocky flanges of the Thousand Islands have more to do than take up challenges from perfect strangers. Agoraphobia among empty spaces, the mountain ranges, the plains of corn, peoples the street at history's intersections with famous faces. Heart of Midlothian, the milky mother, Sir Walter Doric, of sane masterpieces, fed at that flaxed udder Walter Scott, great lax geometer, first plotted them. Triangulations that explode the architect's box of space, and by a torsion as bland as violent sprain narrative time on the archive's single slot. What's to be seen of old Fort Frontenac? The British fortress, by 100 years more recent, but still old Fort Henry draws the Buicks. Of the Frenchman, a mound remains by Kingston's waterfront, and a cadence out of Perkman. At Versailles, a portrait, beautiful and young, Minerva. Intervals in what never meet the eye meet the ear sooner. Music's images, not of Ontario's spaces, but of spaces, sketched by a gesture virtual and French. Alas for Caliban. The Thousand Islands were full of noises, landscape and history echoing back and forth, under immense skies, till his master cabined his spaces in a folio, and Euclids of the teepee leaning to birch pole isosceles in a glade of hemlocks, drank deafening whiskey in a written treatise.